Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Within the first 100 days of our administration, we're going to break through the gridlock in Washington and make the biggest investment in new good-paying jobs since World War II. We're going to do it in infrastructure, technology, clean energy, advanced manufacturing. And I'm also going to pay special attention to those parts of our country that have been left out and left behind.
Oh, from our inner... you know what she's saying? Nothing. The fact of the matter is, her policies are the policies of the Democrats, socialists, Islamists who are currently running the country. Oh, welcome to the Savage Nation. You're not listening to yourself. You're listening to the radio program known as the Savage Nation. And today I'm going to do something interesting for you, as usual. I try to think of, I try to do it a little different every day, because every day the same thing, you're going to get bored. I am not going to talk about the email scandal, because I am bored of it. And unless we see something, I'm not interested in it. I feel you feel the same way. What's there to talk about? That's something we don't know anything about? We know all the news headlines. We all read the same sites. We know Podesta's a crook, in our opinion. We know he's a slimy crook. We know that he appointed the lawyer who's going to now overlook the email campaign, and we're going to expect what? What do you think is going to happen? His old friend is the lawyer inside the Department of Injustice under Loretta Lynch, the most unqualified lawyer in the history of the DOJ to have ever been put in that position. If it was a Republican attorney general, she'd be in jail for what she did. But nevertheless, here we are, and there's nothing to say about it. Huma, Wiener, Hillary, it's boring. It's like a bad pinball game. I was looking at the news around the world. Welcome to the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-400-SAVAGE. And I saw one story after another about what's going on in Europe as a result of the Muslim invasion. In Germany, we are losing control of the streets. Merkel's Germany descends into lawlessness as the Africans and Syrian Muslims rampage throughout Germany. The police are afraid of them. Women police, multicultural police who never should have been police. Weaklings were put into the police force. Does it sound familiar? The tough cops were purged, and weaklings were put into police forces throughout Germany, and now the Africans are virtually spitting on them in Germany. What about in Sweden? What's going on in Sweden? Same thing. Regions of Sweden you can't even go into. What's going on in America? Illegals are crossing the border in unimaginable numbers. And the feds are allowing it. And they're doing it to skew the election. They're going to let them go into polling places and vote. Obama is a criminal. Obama is violating the Constitution. Obama is the man who's doing all of this. Make no mistake about it. So I look ahead and I ask myself, what will the first 5 years be like if Hillary wins? Then I say to myself, on the other hand, what would the first 5 years be like if Trump should win? And so I wrote a monologue today entitled, Imagine a Silent Christmas. Imagine a Silent Christmas. That's what America will be like in a few years if Hillary, God forbid, wins. A silent Christmas where singing and praying during Christmas will be banned in public for fear that it will offend Muslims. If you think I'm making this up, take a look at what's happening in Sweden, where Muslims have taken over entire towns. Christianity has been beaten into submission and is retreating. It is also happening here, in towns in Michigan. It is happening here as well. If Hillary wins, Christianity will not be outlawed. It will be suppressed. You will not be able to sing Christmas carols in the street. You will not be able to ring church bells. So imagine a silent Christmas. This is exactly what the communist progs have wanted forever. They have wanted to suppress Christianity without regard to the consequences. For weird reasons, the Prague feminist mafia is somehow enchanted with Islam, a religion that will kill all of them. But nevertheless, imagine a silent Christmas, because that is what is coming to America if Hillary wins. The Soviet Communist playbook called for them to give five-year plans to manage their country. If Hillary wins, she'll be playing out of that playbook. But what will America look like in 5 years if, God forbid, she should steal the election? Let's look at some key points under her and under Trump to see what America will look like. First, let's look at immigration. Hillary is promising to up the ante on allowing Syrian refugees in and increasing immigration from Muslim nations that will bring 1 million more of them into this nation. And because it will be politically incorrect to keep track of them, they will form communities like in Dearborn or Islamburg in upstate New York. These will become no-go zones like they currently have in areas of London, Paris, or towns in Germany. U.S. law and the Constitution need not apply. But the throwback Sharia law will win the day. And make no mistake, the mosques they build will not be preaching love for America. Under Hillary Clinton, the southern border will be wide open, as she has expressed a hope for in the WikiLeaks emails that have been released. She wants an open border with Mexico, as does Barack Hussein Obama. The Democratic playbook will be to flood America with illegals from South America and Mexico so they can get on the voter rolls and keep Democrats in power. Texas, are you listening to me, Dallas? It's KLIF country. Texas will no longer be a red state, nor will Arizona, leaving no path for a Republican or conservative to ever win office again. And they will have a Senate that can permanently ram through legislation which benefits only the criminals in the Democrat machine. And a Supreme Court that they own will find it all legal. Where does that go next? The economy. All of these refugees, Muslim immigrants and Latin American illegals, will they all be starting businesses, becoming entrepreneurs, working hard, doing jobs that Americans won't do? No. They'll be filling the welfare rolls, taking advantage of every government program that we now have and all the new ones that Hillary Clinton will create. It will break the backs of working men and women in the nation. It will drive up our debt to heights previously unimagined. And it will influence federal policies that will make the dollar just like the peso. Unemployment will rise because businesses will have to lay off people due to increased expenses in health care and labor costs. And what will that lead to? Crime. You're listening to The Savage Nation. I'm giving you a terribly dark view of what this country will look like if this harridan should steal the election. Under her, crime will skyrocket as people will do what they have to do to get their next meal. In many cases, it will be the only resort for people who can't find work. And it will be allowed to fester as law enforcement will have been neutered because of profiling. Do you think this is all a paranoid exaggeration? Well, look closely at England, and I don't mean read the newspapers. The newspapers are nothing but propaganda rags that will not show you the swarms of illegals that Obama is flooding over the border from Mexico. Swarms like a tsunami of Mexicans pouring in. You're telling me they're all coming here for jobs? Why is he doing it? Look at England. Look at Germany. Look at France. They're all losing their national identities. It no longer means much to be British or German or French. The citizens who love those nations are looked down upon and spat upon by the invaders. But why is Angela the Mad Dog Merkel doing this to her own nation of Germany? Why is Mad Dog Merkel doing this? Why is the socialist psychotic Hollande in France doing this to the French people? Why are they infiltrating their own nations with a scourge which is out to destroy their own nations? The answer is quite simple. Because there's money in it. The answer is quite simple, because there's money in it for the politicians and the socialist class, and there's money in it for the church. Maybe not directly in their pockets, but never ever forget that the church front groups receive a bounty from hosting governments for every barbaric immigrant. Catholic charities, Lutheran family services, they're rolling in hundreds of billions of dollars, tax dollars at that. Every illegal immigrant that comes into this country has a dollar tag attached to their head. We know about the cartels that smuggle drugs. We know about cartels that smuggle immigrants. But do you understand that the Catholic Church, do you understand that they are very much like a cartel that is profiting from the invasion into this nation? What will the world look like after 5 years of Donald Trump, a man the Pope once claimed wasn't Christian? Well, on immigration, Donald Trump is calling for the extreme vetting of immigrants from Muslim countries. This only makes sense to me. Do we want to see another Paris or Nice in Chicago or Los Angeles? Do we want to see our American young influenced by radicals from terror nations? Trump will build the wall. We have to have a nation that has a border, or we don't have a nation at all. On the economy, he'll tighten up the tax code. He'll lower taxes on the middle class. He'll lower corporate taxes, encouraging jobs. He'll put a brake on unnecessary spending and put someone in charge of the Fed that will make our dollar strong again. Trump will be tough on trade and stop China from taking advantage by manipulating their currency. He'll put tariffs on Chinese goods, I hope. He'll implement policies that will bring companies back to our nation. He'll force tech giants like Google and Facebook to pay their fair share of taxes, which will generate hundreds of billions of tax dollars a year. That will lead to jobs. The companies will expand. More companies will be formed. More people will work. The less crime there will be. But most importantly, Trump will side with law enforcement, not the street thugs funded by George Soros and the Democrat machine. Trump will side with the cops, not the killers of cops. And Trump will make us proud to be Americans again. And he'll have respect for all religions, even Christians. And Christmas will not be silent. I'm Michael Savage. That's the beginning of my show. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Within the first 100 days of our administration, we're going to break through the gridlock in Washington and make the
and
biggest investment in
and
new...
And I guarantee you that America will be destroyed within 100 days. I will up the ante on allowing Syrian refugees in. I do not care how many of the Muslim men rape, pillage, murder, home invade. It does not matter to me because I am Hillary Clinton and I am her and I am with them. 1 million more of them into the country. Look what they're doing in Europe. We are losing control of the streets. Merkel's Germany descends into lawlessness. The Express UK. During the first 6 months of 2016, migrants, that's a code word for Africans. And by the way, when I say Africans, we're not talking about engineers, architects, doctors. We're talking about fundamentally criminals who are pouring into Europe. Africans, Syrian, Muslims committed 142,500 real crimes, according to the German Federal Criminal Police Office. Germany has been hit by a spate of horrendous violent crime, including rapes, sexual and physical assaults, stabbings, home invasions, robberies, burglaries, and drug trafficking. That's all from the immigrants. Adding to Germany's woes is the fact that thousands of them have gone missing after traveling into Germany on invitation from the mad, psychotic Merkel. Germany took in more than 1.1 million immigrants in the past year, and parts of Germany are now crippled with a lack of infrastructure. It looks like a third-world cesspool in once pristine German towns that were clean as a whistle. They have trashed the towns and turned them into a scourge of filth and crime. So what's going on? That's what you want from Hillary Clinton? All you progs want that in a town near you? I said, you know, here's my problem. My problem is I say it like it is. We're all focused on the wrong thing right now. 5% of Democrats say FBI announcement makes them less likely to vote for Clinton. If you actually knew the truth of her policies, if you actually knew the truth of what she will do to this country in the first 100 days, it'd be more like 40% wouldn't vote for her. But because of, I don't want to use the wrong word, because of worms, garden worms like Wolf Blitzer, Jake Tapper, because of common garden worms and snakes, in the media, they're not even showing you what the Muslim migrants and African migrants are doing to France, to Germany, to Sweden. When have you last seen any of these stories in the American media? Never. There's a blackout. Hillary wants to make America more like Europe. Hillary wants to bring this chaos to this nation. Now, does she want to do it because she hates the country? Not at all. Don't be silly. Nah, that's not what she wants to do it for. It's to make sure that we have 1,000 years of a Democrat, socialist, Islamist regime, which her and her cronies will be in charge of. Now, think about what I just said to you. Many of you are liberals, and you like to be kind to everybody. But does it make sense to you to invite people into your nation who have no such liberal tendencies and never will? People who have been steeped in a barbaric culture from the time of their inception, where it's encoded in their DNA to hate and to kill? Do you have any idea what I am saying to you? Are you able to even understand that not everybody is as kind and benign as you are in your safe white suburb? I don't think so. Many of you think the world is a reflection of yourself. This is a mark of madness on your part. It's a projection of your own narcissism to think that these Syrian Muslim refugees are just like you, and if given the chance, they will act just like you. That is not the truth. Take a look at what they're doing in Germany. Take a look at what's happening in France. Take a look at what's happening in London, where there are no-go zones. Why do you think there was a Brexit vote? Because most of the average people in England saw what was happening, and they didn't want it. The so-called elites, who are nothing but criminal scum, elites want them there. Why do the elites want them there? Why do the elites want Syrian Muslim men of military age crawling all over the streets and towns of England? What do they want them for? Why do they want Africans with no skills whatsoever on welfare in England? What are they gaining from that? Have you thought this through? You better think it through, because that's what Hillary envisions for America. It's all part of the world government view. You have a Pope who's on the same side as they are. Pope sees it the same way. Pope is a former bouncer. I'm sorry to keep repeating what is a factual reality. Check it out. He was nothing but a thug, a bouncer in a bar. And then, like the character in a French novel, he decided there were two routes to power. One was the red, the other was the black. He chose the church, and now he is like a world leader. And although he looks like a kindly old man, he is a snake in the Garden of Eden.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You're listening to Michael Savage. Coming up at 3, it's Mark Levin on Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Imagine a silent Christmas is how I began today's show. And I've been showing you the realities of what's happening in Germany, in France, in England, in Sweden, right now, in real time, as a result of the insane policies that Hillary Clinton wants to bring to America. That's the plain summary of it. The madwoman, Merkel, who belongs in the gallows for what she's done to her nation, she has done more damage to Germany than any single individual in the history of the nation. And it's damage that may never, ever be repaired, incidentally. Is that what you want in America? Is that what you want in America, Africans and Syrian Muslim men of military age roaming the streets without jobs? Is that your idea of a future for America? What happened to this country? Where did the brains go? Where is the war on terror under Barack Obama? In its current iteration, the war on terror is an absolute fraud. That's out of scorched earth. We watch Christians being crucified by ISIS while millennials are encouraged to post selfies on Instagram of their breasts. Well, what is the end game of Obama, Hillary, and their acolytes? What do they really want the enemy within? What are they doing? If Obama is really trying to sow the seeds of a Hillary Clinton presidency, what does he think the resulting garden will look like? For the answer, look at the European Union. Look at its leaders. They long ago stopped caring about the will or the well-being of their people. It was only when the people of the UK took over and voted in a referendum that they started to notice. And the Prime Minister, David Cameron, didn't think the vote would succeed, which was the only reason he agreed to hold it. Now Cameron is gone, and Theresa May is in. First things first. We have to understand that our government has betrayed us and has been betraying us consistently for over a decade. Our government does not represent our interests. It represents certain other interests. For the government, instability in the Middle East is a good thing. It keeps the Saudis buying weapons. It keeps them distracted from the Israelis. It keeps the Sunnis and the Shiites at each other's throats. ISIS is still handled with kid gloves by the Gulf states because they're concerned about an ultimate showdown with Iran, the growing Shiite power. They're concerned about that, but they see ISIS as a potential tool in the struggle. Iran has been very successful. Donald Trump himself said, if Iran was a stock, I'd buy it yesterday. And he's right. It has been extremely successful with all of its efforts in the Middle East. If we had a legitimate government, page 235 of Scorched Earth, if we had a legitimate government, officials wouldn't be allowed to take money from the Zuckerbergs, who have capitalized on the superhighways. They wouldn't be allowed to take money for their election campaigns. If they didn't take money, they could force the buccaneers of the tech world to do the right thing. We wouldn't have to watch ISIS and Al-Qaeda rule the cyberwaves like Britannia once ruled the sea. They would suggest their own operations to take down ISIS websites, Al-Qaeda websites. The movie studios did that during World War II. The Zanucks and Warners and their kind were patriots. They were happy, willing, eager to make propaganda films to take down the Nazis, the Italian fascists, and the Japanese. I remind you of men such as David Sarnoff, whose name has probably been forgotten by now. Sarnoff owned NBC. He was either the general manager or the owner. He enlisted in the military as a colonel for $1 a year to lend his brilliance in organization and planning as a businessman to the war effort to defeat Germany and Japan. He was one of the many great men in American industry who actually enlisted in the military at $1 a year in order to defeat Hitler. Now tell me why Bill Gates hasn't enlisted in the military to defeat ISIS. Tell me why Mr. Zuckerberg hasn't enlisted any of his company to defeat ISIS. I'll tell you where I'd start. I'd force Zuckerberg to give up a certain percentage of his workforce for the military effort. And I'd make him pay for it. Good wages, top wages. What would be wrong with that idea, I ask? Didn't ordinary Americans scrimp and budget in order to buy war bonds during World War II? What would be wrong with Zuckerberg having to pay back this nation instead of catering to China? Are you going to tell me Facebook can't afford it? Are you going to say the shareholders would complain? Show them ISIS videos at their annual meeting. Until the enemy is destroyed, they'll shut up, I promise you. The same goes for Larry Ellison, and the same goes for Bill Gates and the Google potentates. It's time for them to give back to the nation. Now, a lot of the people who work at Facebook, Google, Oracle, and Microsoft aren't hackers. They are programmers. Hackers and programmers are two different animals. We need both. We need hackers to break into the ISIS and Al-Qaeda websites or communications networks, and we need computer programmers to put out positive propaganda for young people in this nation. I can continue on, but I'm not going to. I'm reading from the most brilliant plan in the world right now to save America and save the world. It's all contained in my brilliant, insightful, prophetic book, Scorched Earth. And I'm going to make an unusual request right now, and I'm not going to apologize for it. We have less than a week to go before the election. I'm going to ask each and every one of you who have already bought this book, I'm making the most unusual request of my entire career. I'm going to ask you to go and buy another book and give it to an undecided. Give it to a wife. Give it to a husband. Give it to a daughter. Give it to a son. Give it to a mother. Give it to a father. Give it to a neighbor. We have 1 week left, and all of you deplorables must act now. Most of the people out there who are voting for this criminal on the Democrat ticket do not even know how evil she is. Forget about the emails. Think about what she wants to do to America. Think about what she has said she would do for America. It's all in Scorched Earth, restoring the country after Obama. I want you to listen right now to what the Harridan has planned for America, but listen very carefully. She fails to mention what she will actually do. Instead, she speaks in general terms about what you want to hear right now on my show, The Savage Nation.
Within the first 100 days of our administration, we're going to break through the gridlock in Washington and make the biggest investment in new good-paying jobs since World War II. We're going to do it in infrastructure, technology, clean energy, advanced manufacturing. And I'm also going to pay special attention to those parts of our country that have been left out and left behind, from our inner cities to our small towns, from Indian country to coal country, from communities ravaged by addiction and places hollowed out by plant closures. Anybody willing to work in America should be able to find a job to get ahead and stay ahead. That's my goal.
Hollowed out, she said. Towns that have been hollowed out by her husband's NAFTA, for example. It was her and her husband who orchestrated the wholesale export of factories to China. And here she is, the liar, standing up there, saying she's going to cure what she caused. This is like a cancer doctor who injected you with cancer cells, coming along and saying, I'm going to cure the cancer I gave you. Well, if you're too stupid to even understand that what I'm giving you is reality, not propaganda, I suggest you turn the show off. Go listen to one of the stooges on television who tell you what you want to hear about the great Democrat socialist machine without telling you anything of the realities of what they've actually done to this country. I'm going to take some calls right now. I invite you to call. Normally, I would wait till the next hour. I woke up in a very dark mood today because I looked at the news from Europe. And as much as I try to ignore what's going on as a result of the psychopath, Merkel, what she's done to Europe, how could she do this to Germany, I keep asking myself. Where are the counterforces in Germany? There are no men left in Germany. Either they're in prison or they become something that their fathers would be ashamed of. Where are the German women who are being molested? Where are the proud German women every day, I ask myself. The answers are pathetically clear to me. The schools have brainwashed the German people into submission. Like the Hitler Youth was brainwashed into thinking that the Führer would save them, the current generation of Germans have been brainwashed into thinking that tolerance is the highest of virtues, when in fact multiculturalism and tolerance are in fact the opposite. They are their death knells. Does it sound familiar to you? Where are the people in America? Last night was Halloween. It was raining out here in the San Francisco area. It did not deter the parents from taking their children out in the rain, dressed as little beggars, running around with sacks to get candy, like they needed another bar of candy. The little beggars. The little beggars running around with sacks, dressed as ghouls, getting their candy fix, so that today they can't even function. All the little children rotting their teeth out or rotting their brains out with hypoglycemia. Come here, Johnny, have another pill. Come here, Johnny, Dr. X says all you need is another Adderall. Come here, Johnny, all you need are one of these little pills, Johnny. It'll help you feel better today, Johnny. The parents were stupider than the children. I see a nation in decline. A nation of stupid men and stupid women driving their children around for trick-or-treat, without any regard to the realities of the streets themselves or the world in which they live. That's what I saw. And I woke up in a very dark mood because while we're teaching our children to act like little ghoulish beggars begging for candy, do you think that the enemies of our way of life are doing the same with their children? They're teaching them to kill. They're teaching their children to kill. They're teaching them and training them to hate Christians, to hate Jews, to hate people who don't look like them. And who wants to bring them into this country? Is it Donald Trump, who you think is a bad man? Or is it the Harridan, who you think is a good woman? You get the picture? WMAL, Mike, line 7, you're up on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I bought your book, and then I went to the bookstore, asked for it, and the lady showed it to me on the shelf, and a guy there in the bookstore kind of laughed and snickered when I asked for it. And I said, you ought to buy one for yourself and read it. Very informative. I went back 4 days later and bought 5 more books to hand out to my mother, my preacher at work, or I'm sorry, the preacher at church. And
well, you know, my friend, you know, look, first of all I can say is thank you for trying to save America. You are the Eddie I am talking about. You are the Eddie. I can hear in your voice that you're a man who knows what's going on and knows what's at stake in this election. I don't want to pry into your background or your current way of life, but all I can do is say thank you so much for participating in this last of battles, because if we lose it, it's all over. And thank you, Mike, for calling from Washington, D.C. while you still can on WMAL. WJR, Chris, thank you for calling from a foreign country right now. Chris, what's going on over there?
Well, first off, it's an honor to speak to you, Savage. I'm 21. You know, I mow lawns all over Detroit metro area. You know, Dearborn's a changed place just in the last 5-6 years. You know, they say they want to bring more of these Syrians into Pontiac. But, you know, I drive around and I see these the signs, and they have these flags hanging outside of their house in a language I don't even know. It looks like macaroni art, honestly.
Well, okay, wait, what do you mean? Are you telling me they have black ISIS flags in Dearborn, Michigan?
Well, they're not necessarily black and gold, but it's just the language barrier, you know? They don't speak our language, you know? They try to explain something to me, and they ask me in their foreign language. You know, it just bothers me.
Yeah, well, that's right. They're people of conquest. There used to be an adage, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. But to those people, there is no such thing as Rome. Because wherever they go, that's the world they bring with them, of conquest, dominance, and frankly, a sense of cultural superiority. You know, look, I'm way past mincing one word. I'm not going to parse one word. I rarely do, but I'm actually past the point that I was at yesterday. I feel like I've gone through something inside myself, and there's nothing to hold back anymore. I believe that we're way past the point of holding back. If we do, we've lost the country. If we lose the country, what is the good of a radio show? That's what I keep saying to myself.
Well, you know, I go to places like Ann Arbor and all these cities that, you know, and you see all the Hillary signs everywhere. And, you know, you just get out of these cities, you know, just a few miles, and the Trump signs are just littered everywhere.
Yes, it's all of the brainwashed drug addicts at the university who think she's just a doll. I'm going to send you a copy of Scorched Earth, my friend. Keep on mowing. Keep on mowing. Keep on mowing. So I've started the show by saying, imagine a silent Christmas. That's what America will be like in a few years if Hillary wins. A silent Christmas where singing and praying during Christmas will be banned in public for fear that it will offend Muslims. If you think I'm being extreme in what I just said, why don't you go look at a certain few towns in the United States of America and see what has happened to the church bells? I'll be right back. A silent Christmas. That is today's show topic on the Savage Nation. It was a very good monologue, and I sent it to the Trump campaign 2 minutes ago. I was in touch with one of his bookers, and I said, you've got to get Donald on this week. She said he's not doing any interviews with Down to the Wire, but please help us any way you can. I said, well, send this to Donald Trump from Michael Savage. And I sent the monologue you heard at the top of the hour. And my headline was, from Savage, life under Trump, death under life under Trump, death under Clinton. It's down to the wire. And I ask, what will the world look like if she wins in 5 years? What will the world look like after 5 years, now let alone 5 months, if she wins? And what would the world look like if Trump won? What would he do? This is the most serious week of our life. Here she is, exposed for what she is, for all the world to see. And she goes on as though nothing has changed, surrounded by corrupt lawyers, surrounded by the equivalent of Heinrich Himmler running her campaign. If you look at Podesta and you compare him with Himmler or any of the other architects of doom in Germany, it's not too far a leap to understand what will come to this nation. Secret lists of enemies, people being attacked by the IRS and every federal agency until there's nothing left of their lives. The Clinton machine is known to attack their enemies, domestic, not foreign. They're known to take money from foreign entities and attack anyone who's on their trail here in America. If you want to live in such a dark place, you can leave me out of it. And so it's a very dark place in America right now if you actually look at reality. Very easy if you want to live in a world at which you look through rose-colored glasses and vote for the first woman president. Does that make her a good woman?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. We'll be right back. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I am asking the American people to dream big once again. First, a constitutional amendment to impose term limits on all members of Congress. Middle Class Tax Relief and Simplification Act. The middle class with family of two children will get basically approximately a 35% tax cut, and that's what they can use, and that money will go back into the economy. I will announce my intention to totally renegotiate NAFTA or withdraw from the deal under Article 2205. I will announce our withdrawal from the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Third, I will direct my Secretary of the Treasury to labor China, a currency manipulator. End Illegal Immigration Act. Fully funds the construction of a wall on our southern border. Don't worry about it. Remember, I said Mexico's paying for the wall. With the full understanding that the country of Mexico will be reimbursing the United States for the full cost of such a wall. Okay? The Repeal and Replace Obamacare Act. Fully repeal Obamacare and replace it with Health Savings Account. School Choice and Education Opportunity Act redirects education dollars to give parents the right to send their kid, their children, to public, private, charter, magnet, religious, or home schools of their choice. And so importantly, we're going to end Common Core and bring education supervision to local communities. On November 8th, Americans will be voting for this 100-day plan to restore prosperity to our country, secure our communities, and honesty to our government. This is my pledge to you. And if we follow these steps, we will once more have a government of, by, and for the people.
That's Donald Trump's view for the first 100 days in office. I'm comparing that with Hillary's lying view for the first 100 days in office, because everything she says is a complete lie. One of the things she said she'll do is take the hollowed out towns where factories have departed and build factories and get jobs back. It was her husband who sent the factories and jobs to China and Mexico. How could she fix what she has caused? And if she caused it, why is she now fixing it? I don't believe a word she says. And with the email scandal, there's less reason to believe anything she says. But just for a moment, we're going to listen to Hillary's view to compare that with Donald's view. And who do you trust more, Hillary or Donald? Listen to clip two.
Within the first 100 days of our administration, we're going to break through the gridlock in Washington and make the biggest investment in new good-paying jobs since World War II. We're going
to
do it in infrastructure, technology, clean energy.
Just the voice alone. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. If I were in a communist labor camp and I had speakers in the plaza and in my rooms, this is the voice I would imagine they would make me listen to day and night. Big Sister is watching you. Big Sis is amiss, constantly telling you what to think and what to do and how to behave. That's what's coming. And so I say, imagine the Silent Christmas. That was the monologue for hour one. And it was all about the world that I envision if she wins. It may not happen the first day. It certainly wouldn't happen the first month. But if she should win, and if she should fulfill her promise to bring in 1 million more Muslim immigrants from nations such as Syria, you can kiss this nation goodbye. She's calling for the most extremist vision imaginable. Look what 1 million of them have done to Germany. Is that what you want here in America? Now, you're not going to see what the Muslims and Africans are doing to Germany, or to Sweden, or to France, or to England, on any of the Prague-controlled channels. But nevertheless, pictures are being people are starting to send the pictures from their nations. We are losing control of the streets. Merkel's Germany descends into lawlessness. The police are saying we are losing control of the streets. How this woman is not rounded up and put into prison is beyond me. I have no idea who is in that country anymore. German Chancellor Angela Merkel is facing catastrophe over her failed migrant policy, according to a new report. But make no mistake about it. This is exactly the policy that Hillary Clinton wants to impose on America. Thousands of them, by the way, have gone missing after arriving in Germany. After arriving in Germany on invitations from Angela, the nutcase Merkel. Angela Merkel took in more than 1.1 million immigrants in the past year. And parts of the country are now crippled, where the Africans and the Muslims are spitting at the police. And they are rampaging through the nation. The report states, quote, the rape of a 10-year-old girl in Leipzig, the largest city in Saxony, has drawn renewed attention to the spiraling levels of violent crime perpetrated by migrants in cities and towns across Merkel's insane Germany. During the first 6 months of 2016, migrants committed 142,500 crimes, and that's in a rather small nation compared to America, and that's according not to anyone but the Federal Criminal Police Office. That is equivalent to 780 crimes committed by migrants each and every day. And the data includes only those crimes in which a suspect has been caught. I can go on. According to Freddy Loos of the German Police Union in Hamburg, many migrant offenders, Africans and Syrians, view the leniency of the German justice system as a green light to continue delinquent behavior, says the report. Want me to go on? They are used to tougher consequences in their home countries. They have no respect for us. Meanwhile, a female police officer has admitted that officers are under attack and that the courts have become a joke. In a new book, a German police officer said, for weeks, months, years, I have noticed that Muslims, mostly young men, do not have even a minimum level of respect for the police. When we are out patrolling the streets, we are verbally abused by young Muslims. There is the body language and insults, which I can't repeat. If I make a traffic stop, the aggression increases even further. This is overwhelmingly the case with migrants. It cannot be that offenders continue to fill the police files, hurt us physically, insult us, whatever, and there are no consequences. And yet many cases in Germany are closed or offenders are released on probation or whatever. And what is happening in the courts today is a joke. Remember in July a horrific axe attack on a German train when a teenage Muslim refugee ran amok on a busy commuter train with an axe and a knife? What if that was you? What if that was your wife? What if that was your child? Would you then say that liberalism is the right way to go? Migrants committed 208,344 crimes in 2015, according to a confidential police report leaked to Bild. The Bild newspaper didn't even print it. So I can go on and on. The sense of lawlessness in Germany, the sense of lawlessness and fear in France, the sense of lawlessness in Sweden. Once beautiful, great European nations trashed and turned into third world toilet bowls. And your Hillary, the corrupt Hillary, the lying Hillary, wants to do that to America. But you have to ask yourself, why is the church telling us each and every day to take in more Africans and more Syrians? They're not even Christians. I mean, you could argue that this great Pope, the bouncer, would have a point if he was saying, take in more Syrians, if even 50% of them were Christians. But 99% of them are Muslims. So why would a Catholic Pope want Muslim immigrants in Europe? They're not going to become Christians. So what has he got to gain from this? What does he want from this? What is his end game from this? Where did this man come from, this serpent in the garden of Christianity? Where did he come from? Where did the serpent in the garden of our Constitution come from, the man who is destroying our borders, language, and culture? None other than Barry from Honolulu. Why is he doing it? Why is he not being called on the carpet for it? We read Sweden on the brink. Police force pushed to breaking point by violence amid migrant influx. When is it going to change? It will change if Donald Trump wins. It will change if you come to understand that it's life under Trump and death under Hillary. If you want a silent Christmas, you have a choice to make. And her name is Hillary Clinton. WABC Peggy, it's a very, very tragic thing that we're facing. And there's no point in trying to put shinola on it. What's on your mind, Peggy?
Hi, Dr. Savage. Yes, last holiday season, two of the five churches, Catholic churches, I attended did not have their usual huge nativity scene on display. They barely had St. Joseph, Mary, and the baby Jesus on the altar. And the second one that I went to, I asked the priest after Mass, what happened? What are you talking about? I said, the nativity scene, where is it? Because it's that one, I really didn't even see it. The statues were so small. They're right up there on the altar, the baby and Mary and Joseph.
No, wait. You're saying that they took the nativity scene out of a church?
Well, you know, it's a usual thing. They have, if you've been in the Catholic Church, you see at Christmas time, I've seen extravagant.
No, I understand, but I'm asking, Peggy, have they removed what you normally would have seen in the past in your church? Have they removed those figures?
Yes.
Why? What did your priest say? Why did he remove them?
I don't know. I just left it at that. I wasn't going to go on the 5 o'clock.
Well, who are these priests? Who are these invaders in the Catholic Church? Who has the Pope replaced them with? Who are these serpents who have invaded the Catholic Church, a once great religion? Who has done this to this country?
Why some priests had it in their churches and some priests...
Because the serpent in the Vatican is in charge of it all. Just as the serpent in Washington is in charge of the breakdown of our borders, language, and culture in America. I'm sending you scorched earth. I pray to God you give it to a friend who is confused by the benevolence of your church and will come to understand that behind the benevolence is a serpent. I'll be back in a minute. And in news of the day, Clinton campaign chair asked aide to dump all those emails after report. Who is that? John Podesta, again, the Himmler of her campaign, sent the message to Cheryl Mills in March of 2015, hours after the New York Times reported that Hillary may have violated federal records requirements by using the private server. According to the latest batch of Podesta's discovered emails, I'm not even going to call them hacked emails or email dump because it diminishes them. It's as though someone made them up. No one made them up. They were caught red-handed. Hillary Clinton campaign chairman Podesta directed her former chief of staff to dump all those emails the same day a bombshell news report revealed Clinton's use of a private computer server while U.S. Secretary of State. Crime, crime, crime. Not to sound like Lanny, but we are going to have to dump all those emails, so better to do so sooner than later, Podesta told Mills. Mills responded, "Think you just got your new nickname." It's unclear what Podesta meant by using the term dump. The Lanny mention is an apparent reference to lawyer Lanny Davis, if you remember him, one of the most slimiest creatures on the planet. And when you say Lanny Davis, think of the slimiest lawyer you ever met in your life. Think of the worst lawyer you could imagine. Paint a picture of the slimiest individual you'd ever, if you ran into him in an elevator, you'd take a bath afterwards. Well, he served as special counsel to then-President Bill Clinton. In December of 2014, Clinton, now the Democratic presidential nominee, turned over about 55,000 pages of work-related email to the State Department. Well, you get the picture. I'm tired of the email scandal. It's nothing. It's a flash in the pan. It's a drop in the bucket to what she's actually done. If you want a silent Christmas, go ahead and vote for her, because that's what's coming to America. Oh, not in 100 days. But if she brings in those refugees, within 5 years there'll be a silent Christmas. You'll have to hide your Christianity. The same way the Jews of Spain had to hide their Jewishness during the days of the Inquisition, because there's a new Inquisition coming. It's an Inquisition run by the Prags. You say, what's a Prague? You keep repeating it, Prague. That's a catchy word, Michael. What does Prague mean? Prague is a shortened version of progressive. Progressive is a misnomer for communists. what is a communist in this day and age? What does a communist actually mean? If I say to you Prague, and I really mean communist, what am I saying they are? They are fundamentally individuals who do not believe in a divided government. They do not believe in the citizen having much of a right in their own lives. They believe in telling you what to do every day of your life. What to eat, what to drink, what to think. Controlling the air you breathe. Taxing the air you breathe. Telling you not to see what you see as real. I'll give you an example here in California. Raining like crazy the last few days. Like from heaven itself, like from Noah. Noah, flood level, beautiful, great, I love the rain. The Prague government under Jerry Brown will tell you to not believe your own eyes. That although it's rained like crazy, and now although the reservoirs are overflowing, the drought is not yet over. We must continue to conserve. The fountains must continue to be turned off. Taxes must be increased upon water use. Why? Because it gives them more power and more revenue. There's nothing to do with reality. So that's what a Prague does. A Prague tells you not to look at with your own eyes and see reality. They tell you what reality is. I can give you numerous examples along those lines of don't believe what you see, believe what I tell you to see. Or I believe what I tell you you are seeing. That's what a Prague does. That's what a communist does. You say that's laughable. He's not a communist. Oh, no? Tell me the difference between a one-party state like California and the ex-Eastern Bloc nations. Tell me the difference. Tell me the difference. I want to know the difference between a one-party system in San Francisco and a one-party system in Sacramento and the old Eastern Bloc nations, whatever they may have been. Tell me the difference. When you had one power-made individual in charge of a city and one power-made individual in charge of a state, and they were both on the same side of the controlling faction. Tell me the difference between what's going on in California, what's going on in America under Obama, and what went on in the ex-Eastern Bloc. And we'll talk about it. That is, unless you want a silent Christmas.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Talk Radio 560 KSFO.
You know, one of the great tenets of America, of course, is freedom of religion. It was founded on people who were seeking freedom of religion. Remember who the pilgrims were. Isn't it odd right now that Christians are in sort of retreat in America? That you have to whisper you're a Christian. You have to hide your cross at work. You can't say Merry Christmas. You have to say Happy Holidays for fear of offending some progressive communist slimeball. How is it that such a small minority of vicious bullies have stolen your pride from you? How has that happened in your lifetime? I have many answers for that, and one of them is that you become too nice. That the church itself has weakened you and turned you into a patsy so the bullies can run all over you. WJR in Detroit, Gabriel, line 5, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Well, I just wanted to agree with your earlier comments about infiltrators among the clergy and the serpent in the Vatican regarding Francis. And you're absolutely right.
Well, I know his history. He was a progressive. After being a bouncer, he became a community organizer, a far-left agitator, exactly like the President of the United States. He's the first non-European pope in 1,400 years. Who picked him? How did he arrive on the scene doing this to the church?
Well, many of your listeners, I'm sure you're familiar with Bella Dodd in this country. Decades ago, she converted back to the Catholic faith, and she mentions how she personally helped thousands of communist infiltrators get into the church.
And now, who was that person? Gabriel, please, who was the person you mentioned?
Bella Dodd.
No, I never heard of her, honestly. I'm not knowledgeable about her. I'd fake it if I said I was. I'm not known for faking responses. It's something I'd like to learn more about. But as a priest, you're obviously a traditional priest. You must feel a lot of pressure on you right now. Is that so?
Just a duty to preach the truth, as the church always has, in obviously that's not what Francis is doing, and it's the teaching of theologians that anyone who rejects teachings of the Catholic faith cannot be a valid pope.
Okay, well, we'll leave it at that, because my intent here is not so much to make people uncomfortable with the pope, but to make people uncomfortable with Hillary Clinton, who is his sister-in-arms. Let's leave it at that, Gabriel. I hope you will receive my gift to you of scorched earth. I know you yourself would probably agree with most of what I write in there, but perhaps there is a fellow priest who lives in the progressive bubble who may not even understand what's going on in this country and where it could end up. And thank you. It's not that I'm in a bad mood. I'm in a realistic mood. It's just that I woke up and I looked around what's going on in Europe after I saw the pagan children running around America with their little sacks getting candy. It's not like my kids didn't do it. It's not like I didn't do it. But somehow as an adult, I'm actually seeing more of a joy in acting like a little pagan beggar than acting like, let us say, a patriotic American or even a person who is good in their own religion. There is more joy in Halloween than there is in any other holiday in America. It has superseded Memorial Day, where we honor our war dead who gave us our freedoms. This little pagan holiday of turning little children into beggars for sweets. This little pagan holiday has now superseded Christmas itself in terms of a national pastime. And why? It doesn't offend anyone, does it? Because it's considered a non-offensive holiday, so the white middle-class suburbanites, who are denuded of all religious affiliation, put all of their heart and soul into fake tombs, fake skulls, fake cobwebs on their lawns, in lieu of an actual faith in God, or even in themselves. That's my observation. So it's not like I'm depressed over it, it's just like how much can I take of this crap? How much more can I take? And then I see this liar, this criminal, getting away with every day another crime. Every day something comes out that makes your flesh crawl. Then you see the slimy Himmler that works for her. The Himmler, the skinny Himmler, the starvation case Himmler. His slimy hands are all over everything that she does. Podesta pal inside DOJ investigation. Podesta pal inside DOJ. So in other words, the Department of Justice under Loretta Lynch is so perverted right now that she's appointed another attorney, whatever, assistant attorney general, to look into the Hillary emails. Are you listening to this? This is what's going on. It's astounding. This is something you would have seen in Uruguay in the 1950s, and you would have just shrugged it off and laughed. And you would have said, that's the way a banana republic works. Syrian refugees to USA, up 675%, 99% of them Muslims. Not Christians. So why is the Pope encouraging migration? Why does he lecture us and tell us to be guilty for not taking in more Syrians when they're not 50% Christians? What has the Pope got in this for the church? How does the church benefit by taking in 99% Muslims? No one's described this. KSFO Kevin, welcome to the program. Welcome to line number 8 on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Kevin?
Hey, Savage. I remember years before the Syrian crisis, you said a savagism that is one of my favorites, and you said we've turned from the melting pot into the chamber pot in one generation.
I remember. Yeah. Those were the heydays of the Savage Nation. Those were the days when we were making a lot of hay.
Pot?
We've gone. I remember it was specifically we've gone from the melting pot to a chamber pot in one generation.
God.
Does anyone even know what a chamber pot is anymore?
Oh, I do. I remember that. I remember that phrase from a long time ago, yes.
Yeah, that's when I was a local talk show host. I was already hitting them out of the park. All right, I'm sending you scorched earth. That's another great phrase. See, look, I'm known for bluntness. I'm known for directness. I'm known for blunt talk in plain English, a phrase that's not so commonplace. But you have to understand that if you keep mincing words, what you wind up with is nothing. You wind up with nothing. It means nothing to anybody. So what I try to do is make believe we're in a bar together or in a living room, and I speak to you the way one guy would to another. And so you say, gee, that sounds so natural. Well, it is natural. It's me. Am I all wrong? Am I the only one who thinks this way? I really don't think so. Again, I have to cite data that supports my position that my thoughts are not so odd. What would that be? Ratings up 10%. Book sales up 10%. number one in streaming talk radio around America. Number one with a 25% share of all people who stream talk radio. One out of four people who stream talk radio are streaming my show. The great Rush Limbaugh has a 13% share. I have a 25% share. That's not putting him down. That's giving you the data. What do you want me to do? Hide it to make everybody feel good? Hide it to make everybody feel comfortable? Hide it because my show isn't as big as his? So a lot of people agree with me. And while I have been worn out by the election, we're near the finish line. And it's one thing about me that you're going to find if you haven't been listening for a long time, is that I have said it before, because of my poor brother who died very young, who never had a chance to see or to hear or to live properly, I have two hearts beating inside of me. That's why I'm still alive. God gave me two hearts, not one. It's like a triple or quadruple energizer battery that was put into me at birth. There's no other explanation for this. And as I come near the finish line, I get stronger, not weaker. I'm not panting near the finish line. I'm roaring like a lion. And I'm not going to go out like a lamb. I'm going to go out like a lion right to the finish line. And I'm begging you, all of you, I'm imploring you, every last one of you, to understand what's at stake here. And that is the death of a nation. The death of a nation, or the life of a nation. The rejuvenation of a nation, or the final days of a nation. And my great quote is from an unknown French scholar who I didn't know until I was finishing the book, Scorched Earth. Roman civilization did not pass peacefully away. It was assassinated. In that regard, Hillary and her acolytes are all assassins. And if you give them the power, they will finish the nation off. I've never said anything, I think, more succinctly than that in this election cycle. So what's next? Podesta said, oh, dump all those emails. That's not a crime. They found it through an email that they uncovered. Discovery. He said, dump all those emails. Is that not a federal crime? Then you have the crazy man Carville. Long irrelevant. A nobody. You may remember him from the Clinton years. He was a guy I used to say looked like a cross between an alligator and a human being. He looked like a man who had come from a man who had mated with an alligator and produced James Carville. No one heard of him for years. He became totally irrelevant. He had a wife. She once went into radio. She pretended to be a conservative. She lasted a year or two. Then she dropped a radio show. All of a sudden, they get the half-alligator man out of Ripley's Believe It or Not, and he goes on to more snotty nonsense by chicks, MSNBC, and he melts down and he asserts that the Republicans and the FBI and the KGB are in a conspiracy to bring down Hillary Clinton. That's even though there is no KGB, this lunatic. Well, you got to hear it yourself in clip number three right now on the Savage Nation.
In July, when Comey did the unprecedented act of holding a press conference to reveal that he wasn't going to have charges recommended to Loretta Lynch, no one then on the left was up in arms over what James Comey had just done. Isn't this a double standard?
That's not correct. No, it's not a double standard at all. When the facts change, you change your mind.
Right.
I know that's a hard concept for people to get sometimes. It is unprecedented. Look at the op-ed pieces. Look at what's going on. And you're sitting here defending an assault on American democracy. I mean, just, you know, somebody probably said nice things about anybody at a given point. This is an unprecedented event that was done at the behest of the House Republicans, that was leaked to the press by the House Republicans. And as we know, the KGB is all over this election. And this is what we're talking about. We ought to be talking about our democracy being under assault right now, and what are we going to do about it, and not what somebody said in July about James Comey. That's a distraction. That's not what's going on.
You know he's crazy and a liar, in my opinion. A crazy liar whose voice itself indicates deep mental agony, even to get up every day and shave, I would imagine, is a great agony for Carville. Now he's saying the KGB is working in cahoots with the GOP and the FBI that they once loved. Now they're all working together. Now, of course, there is no KGB. Tell that to the alligator man. He goes on, though. What he does is he doubles down on his insanity in clip four.
Look, first of all, let's start again. He was acting in concert and coordination with the House Republicans. End of story. He gave the letter to him. They gave it to Fox News. Also, we have the extraordinary case of the KGB being involved in this race and selectively leaking things from the Clinton campaign that they hacked. So the American democracy is really under attack here. And the question is, how are we, and particularly how are Democrats going to respond to this? I mean, we have to understand, this is really, really quite extraordinary. And it would seem to me that the FBI shouldn't be getting rolled by the House Republicans. And that's what happened here. There's nothing else that's going on. And at the meantime, we do know that our democracy is under assault by the KGB. I mean, to me, that's something we ought to be talking about. That's a very pertinent and relevant issue in this campaign.
You know, notice his accent has become more Southern Bayou in this particular visit to the home of the lunatic fringe at the MSNBC headquarters there. Why is he suddenly speaking in such a deep Bayou accent, as though he just came in on an airboat? He flew into the studios on an airboat over the swamp, didn't even take off his overalls, and he was suddenly speaking as though he was cutting up cuttlefish to feed to the catfish in order to have a fair meal for Thanksgiving. Why is he speaking in such a crazy accent as that? Now, I know I have a heavy accent myself, but it generally doesn't change. He changes according to the audience, just as Hillary's does. He just changed into something entirely different. I mean, after all, he's been in Washington, D.C. all of his life. Why is he talking like a guy who rides around in an airboat instead of a Gulfstream? I don't quite understand that. But you get the picture. They're all going crazy. Their wheels are coming off their brains in his assertion that the FBI and the Republicans are in cahoots with the KGB when there is no longer a KGB indicates exactly what you're going to get if, God forbid, the Harridan should win. This is the one and only Savage Nation. Meanwhile, we have, what, a week left? Where are all the Wiener jokes? Where are all the Huma jokes? They've gone away because there's nothing to talk about. So I woke up today and looked around what was going on in Europe. And I said, no, this can't be allowed to happen here. There'll be no America left. And then I said something that I've thought about before, and I'm acting today as though it has already happened. If she wins, there will be no need for talk radio. There'll be no meaning to it at all. Just as the church bells have gone silent in so many cities, even though they still exist, and just as Christians still mumble their prayers behind closed doors, talk show hosts will be mumbling their opinions behind closed microphones, if God forbid the Harridan wins, to represent the worst of the progs.
I don't feel no ways tired.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Talk Radio 560, KSFO.
So I wake up this morning, I look at the news around the world, I see we are losing control of the streets, Merkel's Germany descends into lawlessness. I then look into France. Marine Le Pen says migrants aren't refugees and French should come first. I look in Sweden, whole areas of Sweden they can't walk in. I look in the Breitbart, Chris Gavet says President Hillary Clinton is exactly what the Muslim Brotherhood would want. And then I say to myself, I have to write a new monologue for the day. The monologue is one that I gave you in the beginning of this program about a silent Christmas. And I'm not talking about Silent Night. I'm talking about a silent Christmas where the bells have been silenced, where the prayers have been silenced so as not to offend certain individuals. Exactly what's going on in the worst universities in America is going on in America as a result of the atheist in the White House. And the atheist waiting in a bulletproof limousine with a skirt. It's called Nationocide. It's a word I just coined for you during the break. Nationocide. It'll be seen within 3 seconds on the internet. Just remember where you heard it first. Nationocide. Natanocide. Nationocide. It's kind of good. It's kind of catchy, don't you think? Nationocide. Nationocide. That's what this country is committing. Nationocide. If you want nationocide, go ahead and vote for her. If you want life, choose life. choose the one man who can give it back to us. As imperfect as he is, just remember, Moses also was imperfect, and God chose him anyway.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. 400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
And yet he appeals to the mass of young and civil servants who see that there's an unfair world. They think that there's ever going to be a fair world. Where is there a fair world? Tell me where the fairest world is. Who is the tooth fairy who will call the show and tell me where the fairest world is? I don't know where it is. Where everyone has equality and everyone is happy. Didn't Mao Zedong promise that with the blue uniforms and the red stars? How did that work out? I think there were 60 million who died. Isn't that what he promised was equality in Animal Farm? Joseph Stalin tried the same equality in the Soviet Union. 30 million died. Pol Pot promised equality, and inequality would be eliminated. 3 million, a mountain of skulls. There was a movie about that one. So my friends, we're in very perilous waters when we have so many ignoramuses who don't even know the dangers of socialism, communism, when carried to their extreme. When you have a president who goes to South America just last week and gives a lecture and says there's little difference between socialism and capitalism, you know what trouble we're in. And that's a result of zero education, as pointed out in Government Zero. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. A little Bible reading for the Trump supporters out there, or shall I say the Cruz supporters out there, or shall I say those who want a little philosophy from religion. It's a short one. On their exodus from Egypt towards Mount Sinai, the Jewish people arrived at an obstacle, the Red Sea. So they divided into four parties. One prepared to fight. One said to surrender and return. One advocated mass suicide. One of the parties began to pray. So God spoke to Moses and said, "Why are you crying out to me? I told you to travel straight ahead. Keep going, and you will see there is no obstacle." Well, the Jewish people kept going, and the obstacle became a miracle. It's a little self-help book, right? And then another question was asked of the great thinker. Which is greater, love of God or love of your fellow man? He answered, "Love of your fellow man, for then you are loving that which your beloved loves." So you see, there is wisdom out there. You just got to look for it. I'm reading now from Bringing Heaven Down to Earth on the wisdom of Rabbi Schneerson, a little book that fell out of my cabinet just before the end of the show. I don't know why I'm even reading it to you, because I think politics has its limits. I think all of us are craving much more than a political savior, to be very honest with you. And believe me, I don't see Donald Trump or any man on earth as my savior. I have read all of them. I've read Lao Tzu. I've read every one of them. Huxley. Name your greatest philosophers, your most mundane philosophers. And I will tell you, you're not going to find what you're looking for. There's still going to be an emptiness in you. And many of you understand that. And you're looking for your answer in Ted Cruz or Donald Trump or Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, and of course they're going to leave you feeling empty. Because you're still a prisoner in society's box. And the only way out of that societal box is to go into the spiritual side of your being. I'm not saying go back to the 18th century or the 9th century. I'm not saying go to the mountains of Tibet or go live in an ashram in India, because you can find nirvana right where you're living. That sound a little preachy? Well, it is. Because I think we need a little preachy right now. We need something to draw us away from the ordinary in order to get into the extraordinary part of ourselves. I mean, today I touched on a lot of topics, including artificial intelligence and robots and robotic humans. Many of us perform every day as though we're robots. We work too hard. We worry too much. We don't take care of ourselves in a very robotic manner. Why do we do it? Because we're just fixed on doing things. and we think we're going to find salvation at the end of the road, or light at the end of the tunnel, or a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, but we never do. There is no rainbow. There is no light at the end of the tunnel. There's only the here and now. And I think that many of us need to find out how to be there while being here. And that leads me to what I wanted to say to you a long, long time ago, which is that you're listening to Michael Savage, talk radio host. But inside this talk radio host, there is another being that's about to be born. Stay tuned to find out right here on the Savage Nation. A sense of disassociation from people around you?
Not at all. It just seems like they're always one-track minded.
All right, I understand that. Well, most people are. They're on a programmed, course in virtually everything. You could see it when they go to a buffet in Las Vegas. Take a look at what they select. What human being is obese would eat dessert at dinner, at a lunch or dinner, except a robot, a mental robot? Who would eat a dessert in a restaurant if they're over the age of 13 without knowing they're going to get diabetes or cancer or a heart attack? Who eats a robot, a dessert in this day and age and doesn't know better? That's all. Okay, this is not neither here nor there. KKOH, Reno, Tim, welcome. You're on the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Yes, it was an R&D with Boeing, and that was 15 years ago. And as far as the surveillance goes and AI, and, you know, we've got Predator drones now up at 10,000, 15,000 feet, but there's another on the other end of the spectrum. Since you can now put 30 gigabytes of memory in this, half the size of a postage stamp, don't assume the honeybee that lands on your table is going to be 100% organic.
Bravo, my friend. So why don't we release a hive of such bees on Raqqa?
At $1 million a pop?
No, you mean a little guy like that costs $1 million. So it's cheaper to use Mrs. Smith's son.
Well,
That's why they use Mrs. Smith's son. And they tell him that he's a patriot if he goes out and gets killed for Obama. I see. That's how it works. That makes sense. That makes sense. Just use Mr. Smith's son. Terrific. I'd say it's worth $1 million rather than Mr. Smith's son. I'd rather see the money spent on $1 million a honeybee that could blow itself up in front of a terrorist than one more American soldier die for someone else's war. Frankly, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. That's all. That's a great story. I didn't know they could do that. That tiny? They can make it into a robotic warrior? Holy God, Teddy, I better learn. The only reason I know Teddy's not a robot is, let's see, if he doesn't get a bath, he smells. If I leave him in the house too long, he will pee on a curtain. He cries in his sleep. This is why we love our dogs, isn't it? Why do we love our dogs so much? Because we know that they're what, human? They're not human. We know they're alive and real in a world of fake. I mean, we are sanitized, odorized, homogenized, pressurized, right? They're not. They do all the silly things that we would do as children, but we don't do that anymore. That's why we love our pets. Well, I can see that we're moving into another phase of the program. I want to thank Donald Trump for noticing that he does have friends in the media, and I'm pretty clear about it. I never hit it. Why do you think I support Trump? What is in it for me? Answer, America itself. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646.
Some may be more to blame than others for the current climate, but all of us are responsible for reversing it. All too often, there's enormous pressure on journalists to fill the void and feed the beast with instant commentary and Twitter rumors and celebrity gossip and softer stories. Good reporters, like the ones in this room, all too frequently find yourselves caught between competing forces.
The liar-in-chief is lecturing the media that they should dig deeper into things. You hear this? He's complaining about the rise of Trump because he's blaming the media for it. And they don't dig into his background, his using two Air Force Ones, his abuse of power, his sullying the White House, his attacks upon his political enemies domestic, and his soft stance against our true enemies foreign, his inability or unwillingness to name radical Islam as the enemy of the world, and yet he's lecturing the media on they're not digging deep enough. Classic. Hollywood launches movie of Boston Marathon bombing with Mark Wahlberg and John Goodman. Really? I wonder who the perpetrators are going to be. Let's see who the perps will be in this one. Mark Wahlberg and John Goodman in CBS Films, Lionsgate's Patriots Day. The movie will be directed by Peter Berg, written by Matt Sharman, blah, 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 blah. Coming in and follow the events leading up to the 2013 Boston Marathon bombing. Will they actually show who the bombers were? Or will they show them as members of a white militia? Will they show any of the reality? Will this film show the Muslims who actually performed the massacre in Boston? Or will they rewrite history again? Well, who will be the bad guys in Mark Wahlberg's Follywood movie? I really can't wait to see the movie. I like Mark Wahlberg in Lone Survivor. I generally think he's on the patriotic side of things. He came up the hard way in Boston. But we don't know anyway the way Hollywood works today. I'll probably watch it. Latest poll. Trump and Cruz tied nationally. Whatever that means, I don't know. We don't know. It's a very big thing, Wisconsin. If Trump loses Wisconsin to Cruz, it's a whole new ball game, as they say in Brooklyn. And I don't know what's going to happen. Wisconsin's a very liberal state. And when Scott Walker threw his support behind Cruz, I think that was a huge blow. Although I didn't expect anything different. Why? Because Scott Walker is a member of the established political class. Of course he's going to go with a sitting U.S. senator. He's not going to go with Trump. So that's a commonsensical decision that he made. He's just trying to buy a position inside the Cruz campaign. He knows that Trump probably wouldn't want an establishmentarian if he can avoid him. He wants someone from outside the system. Capitol gunman once yelled he was a prophet of God from House balcony. Illegal alien accused of raping and impregnating girl 12. Federal government to fine schools for not following Michelle Obama's lunch rules. All this and more on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
As the Greek philosopher wrote, it is good to live in interesting times, and I'm very much happy to be living in the most interesting time of my life. I've done an awful lot of things. Some of the most interesting things I've done, you don't know anything about, as when I was an ethnobotanical plant collector in the most remote islands on Earth. No one remembers that. My plant collections are in 7 herbaria around the world. But I'm not known in the world of science. I am known in the world of talk radio. And today the New York Times wrote an interesting article, Donald Trump versus Ted Cruz creates a headache for talk radio hosts, which I've been reading from. And it's worth reading for a number of reasons. One, because there's a picture of me as the featured host. If it had featured any of the other hosts, I wouldn't talk about it. The story itself is worth talking about because it's written very well. It's not that complimentary. I mean, it's a New York Times article. It's written like this. Michael Savage, the radio talk show host in 2007. Long a powerful and potent agitator of right-wing politics, conservative radio hosts are one of the few forces that can sway the opinions of the Trump electorate. And what's interesting about this is that we are called potent agitators. I like that. I find that complimentary because wasn't it old Nancy Pelosi herself last spring who gave a speech at UC Berkeley saying you should all go out there and be disturbers to her left-wing friends? She told all of her left-wingers to go out, you should be disturbers. Well, Nancy ought to give me the key to the city because apparently I'm the most potent disturber in San Francisco right now. And the article reads like this. Even Michael Savage had enough. As the insults and innuendos over candidates' wives and tabloid reports of suspected affairs dominated the back and forth between Senator Ted Cruz and Donald J. Trump, Mr. Savage, one of the country's most popular conservative radio hosts, thank you, and an ardent supporter of Mr. Trump, drew a red line last week. You can read it yourself. It's a New York Times article. It's all over the blogosphere. And then they talk about the Inquirer story and said what I said on Friday. It says, but by Monday, Mr. Trump and Mr. S. reconciled in a mostly fawning interview with no apology for Mr. Trump, who nevertheless called the Inquirer's allegation that Cruz had affairs garbage. The momentary rupture, however brief, was emblematic. As the fractures in the Republican Party grow deeper by the day over the candidacy of Mr. Trump, conservative talk radio is having its own identity crisis. That's very well put. That's 100% right. Long a powerful and potent agitator of right-wing politics, conservative radio hosts are one of the few forces that can sway the opinions of the Trump electorate. And with Mr. T and Mr. C now tearing each other and the party apart, the biggest names in the field are delicately navigating how to address Mr. T's latest provocations without alienating listeners. Then they quote someone I never heard of, Doug Hay, a Republican strategist who worked for Eric Cantor. He's quite relevant. He's very relevant. I mean, Eric Cantor was thrown out on his toupee. But nevertheless, he's a theorist about what we do. They don't know anything. These people know nothing, which is why they were fired. The rest of the article reads like this. Conservative talk radio is just as divided and conflicted on Mr. T as there as a Republican electorate. Some advocate, some criticize, and some try to stay neutral, but that is no longer easy. And it goes on, it's well written, and it's about the fractures. But Mr. Trump's candidacy forced a realignment. Mr. Savage routinely has Mr. Trump on his show and decries Cruz as an insider, which is 100% true. Who can argue with me that Cruz is not an insider? I think that's a very fair analysis by me. The reporter quoted me by saying Cruz is an insider. How could you not say Cruz is an insider? He's a senator, for God's sakes. I thought this election was about voting for someone who's outside politics. So the reporter says he sees Mr. T as galvanizing disaffected voters who have both powered his strong ratings for decades and have been ignored by previous Republican nominees. Quote, Mr. Savage said in an interview, he's speaking to the demographic of the electorate that has been ignored and castigated. That's what I see. And I guess I could just finish it up and ask you a couple of questions. We can move on. The main thrust of the article is exactly what the headline says, which is, how do we in talk radio navigate this current debacle called the primary season? I will repeat that my producers invited the Cruz people on this show yesterday to give them equal time with Trump, and they didn't even answer. The Cruz people are cowards. Cruz is a coward. Cruz is an insider. Cruz will not face the Savage Nation. Trump is not afraid to face me or you. He's been on the show for years. I've been promised nothing because I've asked for nothing. Why does he come on the show and Cruz doesn't? I had nothing against Cruz to begin with, but the more I've listened to him, the more I doubt him. And the more I doubt him, the more I come to realize he is an insider. He's a senator, for God's sakes. Is Donald Trump a U.S. senator? Has he worked the halls of Congress? Has he established relationships with lobbyists? No, but for Ted Cruz to be where he is as a U.S. senator means he's had to work with Congress and with lobbyists. That's necessarily not a bad thing. Or shall I say, not necessarily a bad thing. But he's worked with lobbyists and senators in order to survive in the U.S. Senator, the U.S. Senate. So that makes him an insider. I mean, by definition, Trump, although he's a rich man, is not a politician, which is why he has popularity amongst the disaffected voter. We want a non-politician in office who has a chance of defeating Hillary Clinton and our worst enemies on the planet. It's that straightforward. The world is speeding forward. The world's in fast forward except for Hillary Clinton, who's stuck in the past. Why she is a candidate is beyond me. Is she fresh and new? We don't know who she is. We have no idea who this woman is. I don't mind a woman. I've long supported women. I come from women. I'm married to a woman. I have a daughter. I have a granddaughter. But what in the world? How can anyone back this person? I look at her and I say, suddenly it's 1991. Here we are again.
again, the scandals, the stink coming out of the White House, what we need again? I love how the liberals are pushing or saying, well, we've had a black man in the White House now. That was a first. Let's make it a first now for a woman. That's really a great campaign idea, isn't it? That because she's a woman, she's somehow superior to any man who's running. That really makes sense. Because she's not a man, we should vote for her. Yeah, okay, this is how smart the liberals have become. Poll, Dem race closest yet. And by the way, the subtext of that one is, she's such a bad candidate that even a used-up street hack like Bernie Sanders, a New York 30 socialist from the get-go, is beating her. How is that even possible? Because she's such a damaged candidate. The reason that the Democrat Party destroyed the only other candidate who was a valid candidate, the former U.S. Navy secretary, whose name you forgot, guy was great. He was a true conservative Democrat in the lineage of JFK. He was a man that even conservatives would have crossed over and voted for. Do you know that? They threw him off the stage because he would have beaten Hillary hands down. Jim Webb is a conservative Democrat who loves America, who knows that America's military has been gutted by Obama and will be destroyed by Hillary. Jim Webb would have been a much more viable candidate in the Democrat Party than this New York commie Bernie Sanders. But they got rid of him right away. They dismissed him because he was too big a threat. They figured Bernie Sanders was no threat. But she is such damaged goods that even he is beating her. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not that he inherently is more popular because he's going to give away free stuff. It's that she's so unattractive. I've heard liberals say to me, and they say, oh, no, I hate her. That's what I hear. So it's by default they're going to the Schmendrick, the Brooklyn Schmendrick. I eventually want to get to the dangers of Bernie Sanders. I think that he is one of the most dangerous Pied Pipers of communism I've ever seen in my life. If he was a young, foaming radical, as we've had in the country, they wouldn't get anywhere because we know who they are. We've seen them before. There are many, many before him screaming about the revolution and, attacking the middle class. That never worked. So they switched tactics and they went to a more stealthy program. There's a name for it. I have it in several of my books. I don't have to show you how smart I am. And many of you know the names. The Privenis and that. It's like the Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome as far as I'm concerned. To those of you who know the joke, it's no joke to have the Creutzfeldt-Jakob syndrome. Nor is it a joke to have communism come to you in the form of a nice old man. Because it always leads to the same end. Whenever you have a man who thinks that the government or a central bureaucracy can do something better than the private sector, what you have there is socialism. So you don't even know what we're talking about. The average kid comes out of school, they've been told capitalism is evil, anyone who makes money is evil, etc., and that only the government is not evil. Only the government can provide them with things. And so if you're a kid who got a bachelor's degree in some subject or other, that's not a highly focused science, or on a road to a law degree or a medical degree or an engineering degree or a degree in something or other that really, you know, requires skill. Of course you'd like an easy, cushy civil service job. Of course you'd like to come out of college and continue your college life. I know an employer who told me something that I would like to share with you. The employer was interviewing people for a job. And most of the people interviewing were high school graduates. And they all got the job. And then she got a college graduate. And he said to her, you're making me uncomfortable in asking me these questions. And she said, what do you mean I'm making you uncomfortable? He said, I don't like your tone. This is to a woman who was looking to hire him. He said, you're making me uncomfortable. I don't want to answer your questions. I shouldn't have to answer these questions. And he got up and left in a snit. There's your Bernie Sanders voter. He'd like a cushy civil service job in California for Jerry Brown. He'd like to work for the forestry department. Without knowing anything about trees, he'd like to go tell men who live in the woods everything about trees. Well, she'd like to get a job in Jerry Brown's agriculture department, California Department of Agriculture, so she can go to talk to a fourth-generation, cherry tree farmer and tell him all about cherry trees and how to grow them. This is exactly what happened in the Soviet Union. Know-nothing bureaucrats destroyed the country. And then they blame the people that they destroyed in destroying the country. And the rest is history. That's Bernie Sanders. Bernie has never done anything in the world except hate. And yet he appeals to the massive young. and civil servants who see that there's an unfair world. They think that there's ever going to be a fair world. Where is there a fair world?
We could turn the clock back on talk radio. It's one of the magic, one of the most magical elements of my show is the ability to turn the clock back to a simpler time in America. But don't call me on it because I'm not interested in it at all, truthfully. Why would I care where you were when Percy Faith's song was big? Do I care? Does anyone really care? No one cares. The world is speeding forward. The world's in fast forward except for Hillary Clinton, who's stuck in the past. Why she is a candidate is beyond me. Is she fresh and new? We don't know who she is. We have no idea who this woman is. I don't mind a woman. I've long supported women. I come from women. I'm married to a woman. I have a daughter. I have a granddaughter. But what in the world? How can anyone back this person? I look at her and I say, suddenly it's 1991. Here we are again. Again, the scandals, the stink coming out of the White House, what we need again? You know, I was thinking about it in bed last night. I started to laugh. The dog thought I was crazy. He dialed 911 with his paw. I said, wait a minute. If Hillary wins, that means Bill will be our first lady? It'll be the first time in history that we have a man as first lady. That's great. What do we start calling him, the first man? That's bizarre. We've never had a first man in the White House. How's that going to work out? It's a crazy idea, but there it is. I love how the liberals are pushing her, saying, well, we've had a black man in the White House now. That was a first. Let's make it a first now for a woman. That's really a great campaign idea, isn't it? That because she's a woman, she's somehow superior to any man who's running. That really makes sense. Because she's not a man, we should vote for her. Yeah, okay. This is how smart the liberals have become. Poll, Dem race closest yet. And by the way, the subtext of that one is, she's such a bad candidate that even a used-up street hack like Bernie Sanders, a New York 30s socialist from the get-go, is beating her. How is that even possible? Because she's such a damaged candidate. The reason that the Democrat Party destroyed the only other candidate who was a valid candidate, the former U.S. Navy secretary, whose name you forgot, guy was great. He was a true conservative Democrat in the, I say, the lineage of JFK. He was a man that even conservatives would have crossed over and voted for. Do you know that? They threw him off the stage because he would have beaten Hillary hands down. Because you don't even know his name. Because I forgot his name, but I liked him. It's the truth. I'm not going to lie to you. What's his name, Robert? Don't just drink water. Save me here. I forget his name.
Jim Webb.
Thank you very much, Robert. You just earned your gold star of the day. Jim Webb is a conservative Democrat who loves America, who knows that America's military has been gutted by Obama and will be destroyed by Hillary. Jim Webb would have been a much more viable candidate in the Democrat Party than this New York commie, Bernie Sanders. But they got rid of him right away. They dismissed him because he was too big a threat. They figured Bernie Sanders was no threat. But she is such damaged goods that even he is beating her. Do you see what I'm saying? It's not that he inherently is more popular because he's going to give away free stuff. It's that she's so unattractive. I've heard liberals say to me, you know, we talk about the election once in a while. I run into some friends I used to know who I wouldn't be caught dead with. But unfortunately, if I run into them in a shopping mall, I have to talk to them. And they bring up the election, and I say, how could you even vote for her? And they say, oh, no, I hate her. That's what I hear. So it's by default they're going to the Schmendrick. The Schmendrick, the Brooklyn Schmendrick. You heard of the Brooklyn Dodgers? He has a new team called the Brooklyn Schmendricks. It hasn't been formed yet, but they're trying to find the old... All right, so look, this is some of this stuff. We're just wrapping away here on the show. And, you know, you're not talking about the big issues. Up all night chanting Allahu Akbar. 17 Middle Eastern men detained after firing off hundreds of rounds in California, and then released. America being flooded by Cubans. Still under that stupid policy passed by Ronald Reagan. I think it was Ronald Reagan who passed it, by the way. That, you know, it was the anti-communist era, which it should still be, but if we were still in the anti-communist era, Obama would be in jail. Everything Obama's doing, by the way, would have been illegal about 30 years ago. It would have been seen as communist infiltration. But in those days, because Cuba was dumping its people out of Cuba, you remember the Mariel Boat invasion? Remember the great Al Pacino movie? What was that movie called? It's still one of my favorite movies, the Scarface. Yeah, but the opening of that movie, under the freeway, how all of the Mariel Boat invasion people were put under a freeway in Miami, and where they went from there,
infesting Miami with drugs, kicking off the cocaine wars. It was Fidel who did that to us. So what I'm saying is now all of a sudden we're getting them again, thugs. And the minute they arrive now, they're given, the Cubans are handed cash, food stamps, Social Security by Obama's minions in order to vote Democrat. Why are we still doing that? Well, why are we still allowing Cubans in? Well, what do we need them for? Isn't Ted Cruz enough? Didn't we see enough between him and Rubio? I'm joking. I like the Cuban people. I played Cuban music 100 times on the show, but that doesn't count. The minute you say one word that somehow is, you know, top German journalist admits mainstream media completely fake, we all lie for the CIA, that's on Drudge. What is that about? A German journalist says that the media works for the CIA? Ah, come on, we all lie for the CIA? Who is this nut? Who is that? As Arjun Walia? Oh, Dr. Ulf Ulfkott went on public television stating that he was forced to publish the works of intelligence agents under his own name, also adding that noncompliance with these orders would result in him losing his job. That's amazing. He made an appearance on RT News to share these facts. Yeah, I watch RT News. I find it very refreshing. I like the cheap sets. I like the bad dresses, the ill-fitting suits. It reminds me of American television in the 50s. Very cheap sets. Like any minute I expect a boom to enter the frame, right? And to hit the host in the mouth. He's so amateur, it's pleasant. That's where Larry King is. He wound up where he started. Larry King is on RT television. I was on it, I enjoyed it. I was on it with my last book, Government Zero. I did a Skype interview. I was a big hit. They offered me a job. I said, not ready yet. Panimaish Paruski? Nah. No, panmaish. American and American German media tries to bring war to the people in Europe, to bring war to Russia. This is a point of no return. I'm going, we don't try to bring war to Russia. I'm against that. I like Russia. I like Putin. I don't want a war with Putin. Only Cruz does, the lunatic. See, this is why I don't like Cruz here. Why don't you support Cruz? Trump is the only one who has it right. Well, let's say Trump and Cruz. Trump said, Putin's a good guy. We need him as an ally against Islamofascism. Bingo, 100% right. Cruz is a maniac. Cruz is saying that Putin's the greatest threat to the world. We need to go to war with him. Now, who would vote for a lunatic like that? Now, why would Cruz, allegedly so brilliant, surrounded by those brilliant people in radio and television, why would he be calling for war against Russia at a time like this? The answer is because he's being advised by the same neocon idiots, and I can name every one of them, who got us into Iraq to begin with. They're still out there, only they're not in government. They've been fired. They're in think tanks, little old think tanks, earning very little money, and they're salivating to be back in government again so they can start up wars. Think about the power they'd have then, having your son go and die for their little neocon war. And Cruz, by the way, represents them. You know, there's a lot more to this than meets the eye. You think that I'm just doing this for effect. I have studied both candidates in great detail, and Cruz is a clear and present danger to our survival, in my estimation. You want me to come off the table on that one? I'm a little neutral on Cruz. I'm not so neutral on Cruz. I think he's a very dangerous candidate, specifically because his foreign policy is that of the neocons under George Bush. By the way, in case you don't know it, check it out. See who his advisors are. But, okay, many of you don't want to hear the details. You're Cruzites. I get it. So you're entitled to it. We live in a free country. Trump versus Cruz creates headache for talk radio hosts. Second story. Breitbart reporter's claim leads to assault charge for Trump campaign manager. That's a made-up story by the Breitbart reporter. As a matter of fact, I suggested at the top of the show that the Trump campaign should bring a lawsuit. Charges, Frank, not a lawsuit. Charges against this reporter for assaulting Donald Trump. The problem with that idea is that they'll call Donald Trump a bully if he does it, because all Lewandowski did, if you look at the actual tape, is stop this unknown female from approaching a presidential candidate while Mr. Dumbbell, the Secret Service Dumbbell, stands there like Dick Tracy. Moron stands there. Why? You know, everyone thinks, oh, Secret Service, man. They're the best. Well, they're not the best. The NYPD probably has better bodyguards than the Secret Service. Where'd they get this stiff from? Didn't move a hand. She rushes the crowd, rushes right up to the candidate. So Lewandowski, with his long arm, reaches out and grabs a hand. She could add a knife,
Could have had a gun. Could have had an explosive vest. How do we know what she had? Why must you assume that he knew who she was? Lewandowski should be given a medal by the U.S. government for protecting the candidate from an unknown female assailant. And I think that they should consider bringing assault charges against her and teach her a good lesson, that she's not above the law. Secondly, Donald Trump had just finished giving a speech. She had every opportunity to ask a question then, but no one called on her. So this maniac narcissist made for Fox News leapt at him. That's another story you're not calling on, because you can't see the video while you're listening to talk radio. That's all. Move on. Nothing to see here. Everyone seems to be attacking Trump. Everyone in the government media complex is against him. Spring break in Wisconsin. The Motley Fools are out there. Tie dyes, marijuana smoke in the air, anti-war, anti-Trump, anti-American, anti-white. There it is. It's all there. All tied together. The loonies funded by George Soros. They have nothing to do during spring break. I guess Miami is too low. Whatever, wherever they go in Florida is off their radar. I never even went to those beaches during spring break. Who goes to those places? Who goes to those beaches? Robert, when you were a kid, did you go to beaches in Florida during spring break? I don't know who goes there. I mean, last night I was bored to death. I was watching YouTube videos. Did you ever get sucked into YouTube for fun when you're bored of television? You have nothing to do with your life? Late at night, I went from the history of the Jaguar motor car, because I own two of them, an XKE in 1970 and an XK150 drophead coupe in 1961, and they're kind of my hobby cars. So I was watching videos on the rebuilding engines, then on the history of Jaguars. Before I knew it, I was watching a show about white trash somewhere in the deep south in a swamp in mud, riding large vehicles off road vehicles with tires that are raised up 20 feet off the ground, going through the mud with everyone cheering. I didn't know what I was. I thought I was from another planet. I saw girls in bikinis rolling in the mud, smoking cigarettes and drinking cans of Bud. I couldn't believe my eyes. I said, people live like this? They roll in mud? They find guys in big trucks with big wheels sexy? I said, wait a minute, what country is this that I'm looking at? It was like called Mud Girls in Okefenokee or something. I don't know where it was. I sent it around to him. It was like an hour long. I couldn't stop watching this thing. Until I said, I think I'm getting warped. I'm getting sucked into the internet here. What is this? And I said, who do they vote for, these people? Then I said, now imagine if you're a Muslim in America. And you hate America to begin with. The only reason you came here is for the freebies. And to blow things up. Now you see a video like this. I said, holy God, wow. Interesting having a multi-set of eyes in your head. Very interesting. So you want to take callers? Robert, should I take some callers now? I haven't gotten to the real stories of the day. Daily Caller reporter, that's the same one. Videographer assaulted by NYPD during Occupy protest. That's the same girl, the same maniac. While covering Occupy Wall Street's Day of Action, Daily Caller reporter, that's the same nut who's claiming Trump's guy assaulted her, was struck by NYPD officers as police tried to clear Wall Street of protesters. Could you believe this? This is the same girl who tried to assault Donald Trump, and now, because Breitbart, I think, by what I'm reading, fired some slimy people. Oh, if I could ever tell you stories about who got fired, oh my God, you wouldn't believe his background. Oh, I know who he is. The quitter was fired because he wanted to back this slimy girl. And to Breitbart's credit, they didn't want to back the slimy girl. So this cretinous guy was either fired or quit. Now he's looking for a job. No one wants to hire him because he worked for someone I know very well who's no longer in business. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.